the courts of heaven. And there, the great intercessors like Dutch Sheets and so forth, that's all he does. And he has this flag. Well, Tony bought it, and we're using it when we are in intercessory prayer, too. And he's going to get a flagpole and do it. But there is a real court in heaven.
Yes, there is.
You know, and it's supreme, supreme court. And so we're appealing with the word of God. And you know what? And it goes kind of along with the sermon, and I'm going to do some of what I did on Wednesday, but continue on with it. It is our covenant weapon.
Yes, it is.
The word of God is a covenant weapon. And if you are born again, you have a blood covenant. And I want to say this, signed, sealed, established, ratified in the blood of Jesus, the Son of Almighty God. Amen.
Amen.
And that blood covenant is a guarantee that every one of God's promises, all of his word in here is in him, yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God. It is amen. It is, so be it. It is final.
Amen.
Final authority.
By the blood.
All right. So we said on Wednesday night, it was like a soldier with a hand grenade.
Yeah.
And when, yeah. And so, but, you know, when it's released, it puts off great power, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but if you just hold it in your hand, if the soldier holds the hand grenade, never pulls the pin, right?
Yeah.
It has no power.
Right?
So we have a blood covenant with God, and if you are born again, covenant power is the same as that grenade, but you got to release it. You got to release that covenant power into your lives through willful actions. You've got to speak it. Come against when you get the symptoms. Take that authority that God gave you in the name of Jesus. He gave it to you, and you take that authority. Don't put up with it, just like we're not going to put up with socialism.
We're not.
See, your covenant with God releases results.
Amen.
No defects. There's no defects in the word. It's tried in a furnace 7 times. It actually says that. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never, ever pass away. There's, you know what? The only defect is in you.
Yes, it is. I like that.
And whether you know it or not, you cannot be separated from God once you're born again. You cannot be separated from his power. You cannot be separated from the blessing that he gave to Abraham. We're Abraham's seed. And you cannot be separated from that, but you've got to know this stuff, and you've got to take it. Hebrews 13:5 in the Amplified, we're not probably going to read it. We read it last, but it says, I will not, I will not, I will not, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if I'm out there going back to drugs or what? No, he won't leave you or forsake you if he really lives in you. But how do you release your covenant power?
By your mouth.
With words. You release it with words. You know what? You might even release your sickness with words. Now, your words. Okay, let me put it this way first. Proverbs 18:21. And it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
Not in the power of God.
No.
Not in the power of Satan.
No.
Death and life are in the power of your own tongue. So with your own tongue, you sink or swim. You have death or life. You have blessing or cursing with your own tongue. Because either words are going to either make you alive or they're going to shut down the covenant in your life. And right now, we got to really watch. I am telling you, if you can get, like you have on YouTube and press Mario Murillo, M-A-R-I-O, capital M-U-R-I-L-L-O. Mario Murillo, listen what he's... He's a Rhema grad Well, with Kenneth Hagin, he knows, he's word of faith, just like we are. He knows what he's talking about.
And
there is definitely right now, who's going to go with the world system, or who's going to listen to what the Word of God
says?
Exactly right.
It's a truth.
Choose.
Okay, so all of this is in Mark 11. This is still a review from last Wednesday. I said much more than this too. But Mark 11, it says, have the faith of God. You have God's faith.
Yeah, we do. Yes.
And then it says, verily I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, to this problem, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that whatsoever he says, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, this is the whole thing. Oh, yeah, well, I know that by heart. I've heard that from, 43 years already. I have, actually. But let me tell you something. Are you saying it? Are you saying to this problem? Are you saying to the sickness? Are you saying to the lack? Are you saying to what your children are doing? Are you saying to things? To take that authority. So, see, what are all these promises? What are they? Health and healing. Debt freedom. You can have a home. You can have a car. Maybe some of you don't want a home. Maybe you'd rather live in an apartment. But I mean, that's fine. But you'll have the money to be in an apartment.
Right.
And a nice one. Amen. You can have more than enough finances. You can have your children following God.
Yeah.
Have a good relationship with them. You can have peace. You can have safety. You can have protection. And you can have a long life. Not a tormented life, not a sick life, not a pain, full of pain, a long life. Now, I'm not all there in all this either, but we can have it. Because your words set spiritual law. I tell you, spiritual laws are way above natural laws. And you got to even know that what's going on in our government. So, spiritual laws are way above. Way, way, way. God put spiritual laws in here first. And you can set those spiritual laws into motion.
Yes.
Romans 8:2. The law of the spirit of life. Not torment. Not da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that whole thing is a faith law. And it's only for covenant children. It's a faith law only for covenant children. That's us. But see, if you're speaking against any of these things, now, okay, that's where we have to watch our words. You can't, if you constantly talk about all the stuff that's going on, all the pain, you know, la da da da. Of course, don't be like flaky, like I said Wednesday. You've got to tell a doctor what's wrong with you. You know, there's different ways to say that. So that, but if you go on, and that's mostly what you're ever talking about is how bad everything is. You are clogging up the delivery system of the blessings to your life.
18:18.
Because we are there, it's an established law way back in the old covenant. The blessing is ours. Abraham's blessing. If he got it, we sure could have it. See, whatever you need to get into the Word and start speaking it. And you need to call things that be not as though they were. Call them in, like you call your dog, you call your cat, you call your kids. okay. Okay, so I'm looking at my notes here. Okay, well, there's a song, even from the CD that we were playing, Are You Fully Persuaded? Abraham was fully persuaded.
Yes, he was.
And then on Wednesday, we were talking, we had some Legos here. They're actually, now I hope I was right with the the words interpreted from Greek in Mark 11, some of those words actually mean Legos, Legos.
Yes.
And it's Legos.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? They brought the thing in from the little kids from the nursery. And it's, okay, as you speak the word, say you want something today, you're going to start.
Uh-huh.
So you got one building block.
Yeah.
So then you start doing it again tomorrow. You put another, and you watch the rest of your words. You put the other one on there.
Yeah.
You know what? Pretty soon, to do, to do, to do, to do, to do, to do. In fact, there was a couple of cars in there, and I said, see, you got a car. You know, but it's actually the word, that's where they got it, Legos. That is the Greek word for building blocks with the word and to get what you want. So, okay, these are just still reviewing. Okay, sometimes people have an image of themselves in poor health. And they'll talk about it and talk about it, how poor their health is.
Yep.
Or they'll always talk about, we're always going to be poor.
Huh.
Or you're a cheapskate.
Yep.
And you will stay poor.
Yeah, you will.
And you will struggle with money. I'm just telling you this.
True.
It's true. See? So, you know what? Or that image of yourself.
Yeah.
Get the image God wants you to have.
Yeah.
Of yourself. God is an abundant Santa Claus God. He'll pour it on you.
Yeah.
Pour it on you. But see, when people follow God, when they do this, it works.
Yes, it does.
See, but sometimes we speak the reality of the image that we have.
Yeah.
We've been told that. We speak the reality of the diagnosis that we've gotten from the doctor.
No, I don't.
But you don't have to do that.
No.
Speak what the word says.
Amen.
About it. So, you know what? In other words, they call in their own death sentence.
Yeah. That's it, right there.
Proverbs 18:21.
Yeah.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
Yeah.
I've seen cancer patients when I was a nurse and that had a really good attitude and they were in fifth stage. And you know what? They got healed. And there were people who probably were way lower. They were so scared of it. Fear. See, the whole fear thing. And they would die. I was talking to my grandson, John. Finally got hold of him after 8 times. Anyway, he said there was the oldest man in that church at World Harvest is 87 years old. And he's been there since the very day one when Dr. Dufresne started it. And he said this year, at the beginning of the year, he got cancer. And he said, Grandma, he is such a nice man. And he said he came to all the outdoor
services.
Yeah, I could think of the word. Yeah, services. Even though he had lost 50 pounds.
Yeah.
I saw my dad that way too. He weighed 75 pounds because he had cancer. But and he was a big man. And so it's just, he lost 50 pounds, but he kept coming. He even was helping in what he could, you know, with the strength that he had.
Yeah.
And he said, Grandma, he got healed. And he said he's gained 40 pounds back already. So the whole year, it almost made me, wow. So see, that confirms what's coming out of your mouth. If you're following what we teach, that's where the goats and the sheep get separated. If you don't believe this stuff, and you're never a doer of it. Okay, Luke 6, and this is where we ended on Wednesday. Luke 6, verse 45. It's a long chapter. A good man, let's see. Let's see, did you put that? That's okay. Well, we'll do that. Now, take this. There's a lot of words in here. The upright. Upright means intrinsically, or means honorable.
Honorable.
It means intrinsically good, inside. Intrinsically means inside. Man, out of the good treasure stored in his heart, produces what is upright, what is honorable, and intrinsically good. You will know them by their fruit. And the evil man out of the evil storehouse brings forth that which is depraved, wicked, and intrinsically evil. For out of the abundance, the overflow, what you've been putting inside of here, what you've been watching on TV, what you've been spending your time on, overflow of the heart, your mouth will speak. Okay, we're going to read all the way down. Then Jesus said these words, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not practice what I tell you?" For everyone who comes to me, and right now, everyone who comes to church and listens to the words out of the Bible in order to heed their teaching and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug and went down deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood arose, the torrent broke against that house, but it could not shake it. Right now, we're having torrents coming against us in the United States of America. We're having hearing all kinds of things, unless you're not in the loop. But I want to tell you, like I said, I was born in 1940. I heard stuff during the World War II. And the one thing the teachers taught us was, do not ever go for communism. Do not ever go for socialism. I mean, they taught it to us. And a lot of that has been this. They don't even talk about the heroes and what the veterans have done to save our country anymore. A lot of history was, and this was all a plot. Hitler himself said, Adolf Hitler, he said, if you just do it slow, and then you slowly take away little privileges, and then by the time they take away the big privileges, they won't even know the difference. Program. Did he? He quoted him. He was the first one to say it, though, in Mein Kampf, in that book. You know what? But see, that your house, you cannot be moved. You will know what's going on by the Spirit. You will know. Because you are securely built and founded on a rock. Verse 49, but he who merely hears and just walks out, never practices it, doing my words, is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, against which the torrent burst, same storm, and immediately collapsed and fell, and the breaking and ruin of that house was great. Well, I remember on that night, Wednesday night, we went to Matthew 7, which is the same account but said differently by Matthew. Luke and Matthew, that's why it's good to read all the accounts, because the apostles put it in a different way, and that way you get more details out of different things. Okay, and that would be, I want to start at verse 22. Let's get it out of the King James. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Oh, have we not taught Sunday school? Have we not preached from the pulpit? Have we not done this? Have we not done that? Have we not gone on witnessing? Have we not cleaned, did everything? You're okay. But I'm just saying that. Have we not cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works. This is in the Bible. Verse 23, and then will I profess to you, I never knew you. You may have done all those things, but did you ever spend much time with me?
That's it, right there. Obey his word.
Depart from me, you that work iniquity.
Uh-huh.
Whew, iniquity? Whoa.
Gotcha.
This, and then in the Amplified, it says, you have done wickedly, disregarding my commands.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him upon a wise man who built his house upon a rock. You know, and another way you can put that, you built your mind upon the rock of God's word. I actually have, in parentheses, mind written in there. And the rain descended, next verse, and the floods came and the winds blew, hurricane, and beat upon that house and it could not fall. Because they were strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. For it was founded on a rock. They knew what the word of God said and said, hey, this is not right. Verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them shall be likened, does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish fool man who built his house or his mind upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came. Same storm came. Exactly the same storm. But it beat upon his house. It beat on his mind. And what happened? His mind fell. And great was the fall of it. He fell. Period. So, I'll tell you what, this is just so, God's saying this. Jesus is saying these words. So words can change actually your immune system for the better or for the worse. It can change your immune system. Go to James 3, verses 2 through 7. Or did we actually? Yeah, I guess we did go a little further. I think I left with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
James 3, 2 through 7. Out of the Amplified this time, for sure. We often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in his speech, his words, he never says the wrong things. I don't know how many of us that is. He is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and his mind and his will and his emotions. Let's put it that way. And to curb his entire nature. Now, here's examples, though. If we set bits in a horse's mouth to make them obey, we can turn their whole bodies about. Just think how big that horse is.
Yeah.
And it's this little thing that controls the horse.
Yeah.
Your tongue.
Yeah.
Verse 4. Likewise, look at the ships. Though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Just think, that huge ship. And it's that little rudder.
Yep.
And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of wickedness set against our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's senses and emotions, his nature, his flesh nature, being itself ignited by hell or Gehenna.
Yep.
For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea animal, you know what? They can be tamed.
Yeah, they can.
And has been tamed by human genius, by nature. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable evil full of deadly poison.
Yes,
however, it says that the one thing that could tame it is a lot of praying in tongues.
It's true. And it's the truth.
So Kenneth Copeland got rid of swearing every other word.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When he became a Christian, he swore every other word. Okay. Now, the words you speak are absolutely vital to your health and well-being. The words you speak are vital to what's going to happen to you even right now. You know, some diseases can be cured, but never will unless you learn to speak the language of health. Because your body hears it and it understands it. I put 87-year-old, I told ahead of time. He kept going to church too, in spite of the COVID restrictions in California. I thought there was another one there. But okay. Now God's word is infused. Just think, infusion. When you get an IV, you get infused. It's embedded. Something can be embedded in your skin, and it could be dangerous. It's hard to get that out without destroying other things. But God's word is great. If you embed God's word in your body, engrafted, God's word can be engrafted into you by giving voice to his word with your own mouth out loud. And that reminds me of Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, O my mind, will, and emotions. And it says all that was in me. But it says, bless the Lord. Then later on verse 20, all you angels that excel in strength, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord God Almighty. I keep saying that, Lord God Almighty. But you see, how do you hearken to it? They listen to us speaking the word of God out of our mouths. They can do something for us. It's not God talking to them. We use God's word. Now, this is medicine to your flesh. It's the same thing. Let me give you a prescription today. Medicine. We got medicine, but let's go there. Proverbs 4:22. Yeah, it's always, we always start at 4:20, but this is, I'm trying to get some things across here though. 4:20. Well, let's go to 4:20. It is. It's so good. It says, my son or daughter, attend to the words of whom? Attend to the words of the media. Attend to the words of... No. Attend to the words even of your doctor. You should. You need to a certain extent. Attend to my words, said the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Consent to my sayings, submit to my saying. Submit. Okay, my little story again. I got to remind you, fussing, crying, not enough money. This guy came up to me and he said, the Lord just told me to tell you, you are submitting to the devil and resisting God. Now, I could have gotten pretty mad, but I didn't. I went, I am. That's what I'm doing. I was bawling, squalling, not, you know, thinking what is in God's word. Now, I will say I was a baby Christian. This is what early 80s. But that's no excuse.
I must have been in the other room, honey.
Yeah, no, you were there. Anyway, consent and submit. It's like going... Oh, yes, devil, okay. I'm going to believe you. I believe you. I bow to you. God, I resist you. Your word isn't true. That's what it is. Okay, so just let that be a lesson. Don't, verse 21, don't let God's words depart from your sight. Get into the word. Yeah, you know, it's good, like, you know a lot of stuff by heart. It isn't really by heart. It's by spirit. And but get into the word. Keep them in the center of your heart. God's word. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them. Now, this is the verse we were after, right?
Yes.
This is medicine to your flesh.
Yes.
The words of God are life to those who find them.
Yep.
I know two different translations of this. For they are life to those who enunciate them.
That's true.
That word in find in the Hebrew means enunciate. Get that. The word of God is life to those who speak it. Enunciate means you're saying it. Also, though, okay, then the rest of that verse, for they are life to those who find them or enunciate them, and health and healing to all of their flesh. And that that actually means their medicine. In fact, it's health, a cure, it's soundness, it's a remedy, it's medication, and it's healing. It means all those words right there in that passage. But see, you have cut, I've got that written down so I can remind every time I read it.
Right.
That's why I don't like phones.
Yeah,
to read right the Bible. Because there's gems in here. And I don't like to get rid of it either, because there's whole stuff that I've gotten, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, you will learn faster.
Yes, you will.
when you put that stuff down. See, it's the Word of God is a language of health to your body. And here's how it works. Continual affirmation of God's Word in faith. You continually tell your body, it's going to keep building up your immune system.
True.
There are times that you say, oh, I don't feel like, because I got a fever and got a headache and I got aches and pains. That's when you fight.
That's what I fought this morning.
Just like those people, you're hearing bad news, you fight.
Yes, you.
You fight and you never give up. Never. What does it say? Paul said, I press to the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
Laying aside myself and my poor little boop, boop, this, whatever, you know what I mean. Anyway. Constant affirmation. No, I don't care how I feel. I'm going to speak the word of God. And I'll remind you, I did that one time when I was so dizzy. Vertigo. Bad, 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 bad. Like something like that. It was just spinning around. It was awful. But I got up. You spoke everything I knew from my spirit in here. It brings, and I'm not always that way. I'm not to give myself. What I'm saying, though, sometimes you just got to fight the good fight of faith. So it brings a supernatural anointing. What does anointing mean? Burden removing, yoke destroying, devil crushing, mountain moving, power of God. And it really actually builds up your immune system. It's capable of eliminating sickness and disease in a natural manner because God made you that way. God made the body to heal itself. That's why taking too many drugs throws that body off sometimes. But do take them. If you're in trouble, you've got to do that. I've done it. I've done it. Because that's wise. You got to be wise about things too. So, but words are building blocks. God's word builds it up. And you construct your whole life on it. You construct your healing on it. Your finances on it. Everything. Your kids, everything. So when you speak God's word about your body, you conduct a healthy spirit,
yes, you do.
Soul, mind, will, and emotions, and a body.
Yeah.
Okay, here's some scriptures to decree. Okay. First of all, Job 22:28. It says, when I decree and declare a thing, it shall be established. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon my ways. That's one of them I know about. So you decree it. Decrees are actually their declarations and decrees, just like the Declaration of Independence. It is actually goes into, when it's God's word, it goes into the spirit realm, and God showed me it was like a flashing billboard, an electric flashing billboard to the devil. Like, that's what it is. You decree it out loud. Proverbs 18:21. Great one. Again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they who love it will eat the fruit of it. Okay. Proverbs 21:23. Some of these I'll read. Some of them we'll look up. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps or guards his soul, himself, from troubles. He guards himself from trouble. Okay, so let's go to Proverbs. Now let's go to Proverbs 12, 14 and 18. I've got that next. We're going in order. Yeah, 12, 14. We'll do out the Amplified. From the fruit of his words, you bear fruit from your words. A man shall be satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hands shall come back to him as a harvest. See, if like Randy takes care of his field, or whoever's a farmer in here, you take care of your garden, you're going to have a good harvest.
Yes,
now, verse 18. There are those who speak rashly. And in the, actually, the King James says, like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, there are some people that go, that isn't going to bring you healing. The tongue of the wise, sweetness of the lips increases learning. Verse 13:3. He who guards his mouth, oh my goodness, guards or keeps his life. You keep your life.
Yes, you do.
But he who opens his wide his lips comes to ruin. You know, sometimes people want to argue with you about certain stuff. And you know what? You need to just cut it. If you shut up, you'll cut it. I don't care how right you are. Just shut up.
6-2.
Oh, yeah, I know. 6-2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. Right. You're snared. You get in a trap by the words of your mouth. That was Proverbs 6:2. Okay, yeah, I meant to write that down. Proverbs 14:3. Oh, okay. In the fool's own mouth is a rod to shame his pride. But the wise men's lips preserve them.
Ooh, that is so good.
Let me read what's in the bottom of, if you have an Amplified Bible, on the bottom it said, the word fool in the Old Testament is seldom, if ever, used to describe the feeble-minded, the imbecile, the idiot, or moron. Rather, it always has within it the meaning of a rebel. Rebellious person. The word fool means rebellious. Especially against God and the laws of order, decency, and justice. Just what's happening now. Notice in Proverbs how many such characteristics of rebelliousness are listed against the fool, and see God's attitude toward them. It's not good, God's attitude toward them. I thought that was kind of interesting. Proverbs 15, okay, 1, 2, and 4. A soft answer turns away wrath. What did you say to me? Just stand there. Sir. But grievous words stir up anger. Verse 2. The tongue of the wise utters knowledge correctly, rightly. But the mouth of the self-confident fool, rebellious person, pours out folly. Arrogant, haughty, too self-confident. Verse 4. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness in it breaks down your spirit. It breaks that person's own spirit down. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. A honeycomb is sweet, right? Sweet to the mind and healing to the body. And I put pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Wait a minute. Let me see what. Oh, let's read the King James. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. As a bone scripture, health to the bones. And sometimes in some of these cases, though unpleasant words have been said to them so much that it can cause problems like that. Okay.
Security.
You know what? Now, so first of all, how do you get God's covenant and use it as a weapon with your words? But so the next thing is you release covenant power with your actions.
That's true.
Your words and your actions. James 2, 14 through 26. James 2. Okay, what is the use or profit, my brothers and sisters, for anyone to profess, oh boy, I'm a faith person, if he has no good works to show for it? Can such faith save his soul, his mind, will, and emotions? If a brother or sister is poorly clad and lacks food for each day, and one of you say to him, oh, goodbye, keep yourself warm and well-fed, without giving him the necessities for the body, what good does that do? Right? So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power. It's inoperative. It's dead. Verse 18, but someone will say to you then, you say you have faith and I have good works. Now you show me your alleged faith apart from any good works, if you can, and I, by good works of obedience, will show you my faith.
Obedience.
See, do you see what, really, that other person, you know, he may say, I know those scriptures. By his stripes we were healed.
Yeah.
But you never apply it. Okay, verse 19, do you believe that God is one? You do well.
Yeah.
Now get this scripture. So do the demons believe.
That's right.
They believe that God is one, and they believe that God's word is true. But they can do nothing about it. They shudder in terror and horror when the word of God is spoken. That makes a man's hair stand on end and contract the surface of his skin. In other words, yet here we are. We say the word. Don't think nothing of it. We throw it off to the side. Right? But the demons, you say the word to them and they go, they tremble because they can't come against it. And yet we think his word is nothing. They respect the word more and believe it more than we do. Okay. Verse 20. Are you willing to be shown proof, you foolish, rebellious, unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow, that faith apart from good works is inactive and ineffective and worthless? Was not your forefather Abraham shown to be justified and made acceptable to God by his works when he brought to the altar as an offering his own son Isaac? Right?
Yes, amen.
And so the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed on God and this was accounted to him as righteousness. He didn't have to be born again. Because he believed God, he was righteous. And he was called God's friend. Verse 24, you see that a man is justified, pronounced righteous before God through what he does, and not alone through faith, through works of obedience, as well as by what he believes. Hey, here's Rahab the harlot. Was she not shown to be justified, pronounced righteous before God? She was a prostitute. I lost my place. Okay. By good deeds, when she took in the scouts, the spies, and sent them away by a different route. Yeah. She and her family, that's the walls of Jericho. She and her family were saved. All the people of that whole city of Jericho died. And she was saved. She and her family were saved. For as the human body, apart from the spirit, is lifeless. When your human body dies, so faith, okay, what happens? It falls to the ground, but your spirit is still alive. So faith apart from works of obedience is also dead. So, we preach this about speaking the word of God and saying it out loud, but you have to be a doer of it for it to work. True faith cannot help but act. See, if you really believe in God and his covenant, that's where the sheep and the goats are going to be separated. I am just telling you because I love you, because this is huge.
Yes, it is.
True faith cannot help but act. If you really believe in the covenant and you speak the right words, you're talking the talk, but are you walking the walk?
That's it right there.
Okay, well, just a little bit more here.
Good.
Matthew 15, 22. Well, go there real quick. I know, I don't have much more left. Well, I do, but I'm not going to give it all. True. Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman who was a Canaanite from the district came out and with a loud, troublesome, urgent cry begged, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is miserably and distressingly and cruelly possessed by a demon." Now, these people would have orgies and practice witchcraft in their house. She was a woman of Canaanite. Actually, they came from the tribe of gypsies. But he did not answer her a word. Jesus didn't. And his disciples came and implored him and saying, "Get rid of this woman. She keeps running after us and crying, 'Have mercy, have mercy. Tell your master, have mercy, have mercy. Get out of here.'" You know, I'm putting in my own words. He answered. Then he finally answered the lady and he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and she knelt and worshiped him and kept praying and saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, help me." And he answered, "Is it not right or proper or becoming or fair to take the children's bread Who is the children's bread? It was the people of Israelite, and it's us, them. Right?
Yes.
And grafted, we're the engrafted ones now.
Yeah.
But at that time, Jesus was talking to the Jewish people.
Yeah.
But he said, is it right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs?
How many would leave the church?
He called her a dog. He called that Canaanite woman Jesus.
Yeah.
Called that Canaanite woman a dog.
Yeah.
But they did horrible things. Why do you think her daughter had a demon?
Because
they were practicing garbage in their house.
Uh-huh.
Verse 27. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little pups, the little whelps eat the crumbs that fall from their young master's table.
Wow.
She wouldn't give up.
No, she wouldn't.
And Jesus answered her, oh, woman, great is your faith. She had more faith than the people who was preaching to. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was cured from that moment. The demon had left her. She asked for mercy and she worshiped him. And Jesus could not walk away. Because she was operating on the covenant of mercy. By reaching out to take what she needed.
She worshiped him.
Yes, and she worshiped him. That was huge.
Yeah.
Healing for her daughter, and she did it by faith. Blind Bartimaeus, we won't go there now, but blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the roadside, and he was crying out. He had heard about Jesus. He heard him walking past, and because he couldn't see, and he cried out for mercy. And then they said, be quiet, be quiet. That's the master. Be quiet. Don't bother the master. And when he was opposed, you know what he did? He cried out all the louder. Have mercy on me. Now, he knew what was available to him. We know what's available to us.
That's good.
Okay, citizens of the United States. And he knew it could not be ignored. Now, was he the one that even threw off his blind man's? Okay, so social services would that would be what it would be compared to now.
Probably.
They would give them a garment to wear to say that they could be a beggar.
Yeah.
But what he did, if he was the one, he threw off his beggar's garment.
And he was stealing.
That right there was faith.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to be a beggar.
Yeah.
Same thing with us. We got to get to a point where we're on our own. I'm telling you, you can get there. Start out, but get there. Quit being in poverty. That is not God.
That's right.
Deuteronomy 28.
Come on.
Deuteronomy 28.
Yeah.
It says God redeemed us.
Yeah.
You listening?
Yeah.
He redeemed us. He rescued us. He ransomed us from three things in Deuteronomy 28. Spiritual death, which means you get born again. Sickness and disease and poverty. He redeemed us. Did he do that all on the cross? You know what? We've got to believe his word. But see, the more integrity you get, the more of that goes up. It's the words of your mouth, too.
Yes, it is. That's what stops you.
So, anyway, see, you release covenant power with your actions.
Yeah.
When you start taking steps according to a faith that believes it will receive without a doubt.
That's right.
Are you fully persuaded that the word of God is true? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, everybody will say, everybody will say yes. But are you really? See, that's different in various situations. Okay, do you need a car? Hey, do you need a car?
Yeah.
Start taking care of the car that you have.
That's right.
Take care of the car you have.
Right.
Clean it inside and out. You know, prepare a space in the garage if you can. Or any other You know what? Write down what you want in a car.
Amen. Amen.
What color it is. What you would like, features you'd like to have in it.
Yes.
You want to own a house?
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep your apartment. Keep your rental house or your apartment like you would your own house.
Right.
Do not trash it. I'm telling you, some people do that. Well, it doesn't belong to me anyway.
Yeah.
No, you know what? That old church, we never got a penny for all the fixing up we did. The sump pump was starting to flood down the basement. The owner would not buy us a sump pump. That was his building. So we went out and bought one. Stalled it. I mean, everything we did in there, we paid for it. But we paid for it. We kept it like it was our own. We pulled the weeds on the outside, planted a different kind of trees, tried to get the grass to make it look nice there.
Yeah.
Believe me, I remember pulling all those weeds. Oh.
Yeah.
I was stiff in my rib cage.
See,
faith never sits still.
Yeah.
It bubbles to overflowing. And it can't help but act what it knows that God can provide. And when you keep the words, this is his covenant, like healing, you act on what you know belongs to you. You know what? Blessings happen.
They really do.
I'm really not done, but that's all right. I'm not going to. I promise. Nope. Amen. So we did have a song. I think I put down, "Are You Fully Persuaded?"
Yeah.
That, are we persuaded? We're persuaded by other people in the world system that tell us things. We're persuaded by what they say, by the doctors.
Yeah.
We're persuaded.
Yeah.
But let's get persuaded by the word.
All
the way around. It's on the... we keep praying and you've got to decree and declare things for this election.
Yeah.
What is it? It's a flashing billboard of the spirit realm to the devil.
Yeah.
So, see, you... I wrote out a whole bunch of them, now I can't find... I mean, there's so much here. Oh, this is all praying for the country and for the president. Decree and declare that. Keep decreeing and declaring. President Donald Trump is the president-elect in 2020.
Four more years.
But declare it out there. The angel armies can work.
Yes.
We are co-laborers. Oh, it's right here. I'm just telling you some of this stuff. I mean, But I got this on kind of like, pray for those lawyers.
Yes. For their strength.
God, for their strength, for their wisdom, for supernatural wisdom to find things.
Yes.
Pray that it's the darkness is exposed to the light. Hidden things, you know what?
Yeah.
Declare these things.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much.
Don't keep thinking
to
yourself. Think about those people.
I get so much stuff.
Pray
the blood of Jesus over and around United States of America. I can't even. You want to hear it? Come to the prayer meeting. Amen. Hallelujah. As we pray.
Yeah.
We've been praying intently. But that one last Tuesday, we listened. Dutch Sheets is going to every one of the states where they're the states that those, you know, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Nevada, Arizona,
Wisconsin.
Michigan. Huge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania, they made some headway.
Did they get that sheet on that, honey? They need to say it every day.
Which sheet?
The one Michelle Bachman wrote up.
Yeah, everybody got that, I'm sure.
Say it every day, church.
Yeah. I'm talking about the prayer points. They were here last five prayer points. We still have more somewhere. Where? Amen. Okay. So, Father God, I thank you that the word of God that is spoken cannot be stolen, Lord, and that it will grow and develop in the hearts of every one of these people that hear it and have heard it this morning with hearing ears and with seeing eyes. And Father God, we release a special anointing, a supernatural anointing of healing upon these people, every one of them. We say to COVID-19, you are a name that bows its knee to the name of Jesus. The Lord said that we have authority in our covenant promise. He said, he turned and gave us the authority over the earth. And we command, and over sickness and disease, and we command sickness and disease and that coronavirus to die in the name of Jesus. And if it touches anyone that is the body of Christ, which it says, wait, in Ephesians, that Ephesians says that we are, he is the head, and we are the body. And that goes to hands and feet and arms and legs, whatever our purpose is on earth. And we, when it hits the body of Christ, it has to die. Because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of God. And that cannot live in a temple of God. It cannot live in God, and God is in us, he's with us, he's for us, and it cannot live inside of us, Lord. We have already been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son, and that the devil can't live in that kingdom. And it says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Everything that heaven already enjoys is ours. Is there sickness and disease in heaven? No. Then everything that heaven doesn't have is ours. Whatever we bind on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is already lost. Loosed, not lost. Loosed in heaven. Now, I mean, I'm telling you, I say this stuff constantly, constantly, constantly. Say it. I say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. How can that, do you believe the Bible? I mean, I go to myself, I go, it's bound in heaven. Whatever is bound in heaven is already bound on earth. If we're covenant children of God, it's bound for us. But see, do you see, we've got to believe it. And receive it. I'm not there either. But I keep saying it. The more I say it, the more I build a Lego that's from the floor up. Boop, 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 boop. Yeah. The more you build a Lego for a car that you might need, the more it looks like those Lego cars. No, I mean, that isn't what you mean. But it's the truth. Believe this stuff. This is the word of God. So, Father, I thank you, Father, that we eat our own giants. Amen. Thank you, Father, that we can hide in you. Oh, we can do so many things that it says in the Psalms and Proverbs and the whole Word of God. God, your Word is true. It's not just a good thing you read. It's for us to live and to take over on the earth. As God is, so are we in this world, and greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And in that passage, that's 1 John 4:4, that's talking about above that, it says, greater is he who is in us than who? The Antichrist spirit. And there's an Antichrist socialistic, communistic agenda out there. And greater is he who's in us than he was in the world. Amen. And that blessing and that anointing is on you. Just receive it, receive it. That's what God told me to say. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. I receive it. Amen. Okay, so play.